Another big story today with some unclear implications for the future and the population. Sometimes health data shows an epidemic surging through the population. Sometimes data really shows how our definition of what is normal seems to be changing. New data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention do not suggest that there is a sudden contagion of the condition ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But according to an analysis by our partner, the New York Times, the rate and patterns of ADHD diagnosis have changed dramatically over the last decade. An estimated 6.4 million children between the ages of 4 and 17 have been diagnosed with ADHD at some point in their lives. That's a 53% increase from a decade ago. For some ADHD cases, this condition has become a new normal. For the millions of people who have grown up with the diagnosis and the attendant drug therapies, what does ADHD mean for the millions of adults now coming of age and having their own children? Journalist Catherine Ellison has written about the experience of being diagnosed with ADHD. Her new book is Square Peg, My Story, and what it means for raising innovators, visionaries, and out-of-the-box thinkers. She joins us on the line from Northern California. Catherine, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
So what does it mean, this huge jump over the last decade, and really the notion that a lot of really a generation of kids with this ADHD diagnosis are now entering adulthood? As they look back, what do you think you and they see?
Well, I think it's important when you look at these numbers, every time a report like this comes out and there's been a continual rise in the number of people diagnosed with ADHD, there's a lot of diversion and abuse and people being overdiagnosed. As you say, we're sort of redefining normal, and kids who just have problems in school are helped by their parents, quote unquote, by getting a diagnosis. But at the same time, there is a very real problem at the core of it. And I guess as somebody who's been diagnosed and has a child who's been diagnosed, I worry more about the kids who don't get treatment or don't get recognized and go into schools that are really hostile environments for them.
I mean, that's the interesting point here. I mean, for some communities, for some socioeconomic groups, ADHD is almost a rite of passage. There's almost an expectation that it's going to get looked at. But for other communities, no. Give us a sense of the granularity as you see in the data.
Well, there's all sorts of differences. Boys are much more likely to get diagnosed. They're actually, there are probably a higher incidence of boys with ADHD than girls, but girls slip under the radar even when they have, real problems. So there's that difference. What I find really fascinating is the geographical difference. You're much more likely to be diagnosed and to be medicated if you're in the South than, for instance, in California, where I live. And a part of that, I've talked to a wonderful researcher, Stephen Hinshaw, who's done great research on this, and he really attributes it to the differences in schools. There's been, for many more years, more pressure for accountability in schools in the South. So, again, schools are much more constrained, difficult environments. Kids fail more, and they're more likely to be treated in the South.
Now, let's talk about that for a moment. Are you saying the school has an incentive to treat because it helps to raise their standards if they're being looked at as schools in crisis, or that there's a genuine concern here and that the treatment actually helps students to become higher achievers in school? What's going on?
In fact, I think both are true. I think if you have a real problem and you get treated, and it doesn't have to be with medication, there's many different things that you can do. That's all to the good. And I think it's great that more kids are being diagnosed when they really have a legitimate problem. But there's also another problem of we behave differently depending on the context in which we're in. Obviously, everybody's different. Everybody has different strengths. And
Catherine Ellison on a Skype connection there. We just lost you for a second. That's okay. Let's move on to another thought here. And that is the idea that if you're taking your diagnosis into adulthood, and in some cases with the attendant drug therapies that go with it, what do you think the consequences are? How have you experienced it? What are your expectations for your own child?
Well, I've tried my best to help my son by sharing some of the experiences that I've been through. I've had a real roller coaster of a career. I was sued for $11 million when I first started out in reporting for a careless error, and then 2 years later won a Pulitzer. It's been really up and down. So I really try to teach my child resilience and to self-acceptance, and also to be very, very careful with details. So I think that there's, I'm one of millions of parents who, in this age, who have gotten their own diagnoses after watching their child be diagnosed. So it's a journey that a lot of boomers are going through right now.
If there's a misdiagnosis going on or an aggressive rate of diagnosis, is there a danger that kids get saddled with an identity that maybe is not useful for them as they move through college and adulthood?
Yeah, I think there's clearly overdiagnosis for many different reasons, and there's all sorts of problems with that. There's problems with abusive medication. I think there's still tremendous stigma. Every time a story like this comes out, reliably you get the internet comments that ADHD doesn't exist and what these kids really need is a good spanking, et cetera. It's to me, it seems a little bit like global warming. There's a scientific consensus that this exists. It can be a devastating problem, but there's a lot of ADHD deniers.
Although, there's another element here, and it's kind of ironic, it seems to me, that, with a 53% increase from the last decade of the rate of diagnosis of kids with ADHD, you don't get the sense from the literature that there's more clarity on what actually is going on with ADHD, medically speaking. Yes, it exists, but we don't know much about what it is, right?
I agree that the way that you diagnose it, it's really subjective. There's just a bunch of questions that you get asked. So hopefully one day we'll have a more definitive test. Right now, there really isn't one.
And if you're a parent and look at these data and notice some behaviors, maybe troublesome behaviors of your kids, what's the takeaway, do you think?
To be very careful and be very thorough and not jump to conclusions and look at the context that your child is in before you look at any problem with the child.
Catherine Ellison is the author of Buzz, A Year of Paying Attention. Her latest book is Square Peg, My Story, and What It Means for Raising Innovators, Visionaries, and Out-of-the-Box Thinkers. Catherine, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.